Why would we try to change what we received from him as the thing that he entrusted us with? Why are we vulnerable to that danger? Why do families in the meeting sometimes lose their kids who grow up to leave the meeting and go somewhere else? Why do sometimes look at other places and other ways of worship and hear that maybe we should be doing like this, and what's wrong with this, what's wrong with that? Why should we do it this way that we're doing it? How many times we think this way? How many times we think, what's wrong with having women pray in the meeting? Why do women have to cover their head? What is that with the idea of having no leader to the meeting? That's order. It will help us have a better meeting. Why don't we assign somebody to speak? What is it that we don't have people come from other meetings to break bread with us? Who are we to tell somebody not to break bread with us? Why is it that I can't go and break bread with somebody else? And questions like this, everywhere, especially in our age, it's good to question. It's good to test what you're believing in. But go back to the Word of God and test it there. And ask there. That's honorable. To go and examine everything you hear in light of the Word of God. But don't test it by saying, oh, somebody else did it and it worked. If it worked for them, it will work for us. Let's do it. No. No. The result will always be life that is not as moral as we are ought to live as Christians. Yes, you may have a bigger denomination to belong to. You may have a bigger meeting. You may have more attractive worship to our nature, but not to God. He's not interested in the things that appeal to us. So somebody would say, why are you talking to us about this? I will tell you, because we are in danger of losing what God called us for. We are in danger of losing the most precious thing that was given by God. We are in danger of losing those beautiful truths that he entrusted us with, because we're looking for something better. And there is no way of maintaining that deposit of truth that God gave us unless you participate in protecting it and keeping it and following it. You, the youth, you would either be the revolutionaries that we heard about from Emil this morning, who will revolt and say, we don't want this anymore, and abandon the truth. Or you will be the ones who stand up for it and protect it and hold on to it in spite of all the attractions around you. That's what we are facing here in Jude. If we are living for ourselves, if we are occupied with what we need, if we are looking for what makes us feel better, it's very hard to think this way. My son, John, he's 11 years old. When he was 11 years old, he's 16 now. When he was 11 years old, he had a friend he knows very well from school, and that friend goes to a Baptist church. Very successful. They have thousands on Sunday meeting. He said to me once, can I go with him? And I said, do you want to go? He said, yes, I want to go. I said, why? He said, I want to see what is that. I said, go. He went and he came back. And when he came back, he was 11. And he told me, I told him, how was it? He said, Dad, there was no worship. I said, what do you mean? He said, there was a band and people are listening to them. I was not able to really worship. I was listening to a band. Yes, I may sing with them if I know the song, but that was not true worship to me. And after this, it was a sermon. And most of the people are there just to hear for the sermon for the rest of the time. That's an 11-year-old. And I don't think I ever sat with him to explain to him something like this. And he never went back and he never asked for something like this again. If you are sitting here today and you're tempted to abandon the truth that we are so blessed by having today because you think there is something better out there, I'm telling you, don't waste your time. Let's encourage one another and look at each other and say, look at what God entrusted us with. The faith once delivered to the saints. Let's talk about freedom. Let's talk about salvation. Let's talk about dying and rising again with Him. Let's talk about freedom from this world and the captivity of sin and the ruler of this world. Let's talk about the shepherd. Let's talk about coming with Him outside any fold that created by man to live with Him in freedom, to follow Him and obey Him and listen to Him. Let's talk about the eternal life. The ability to know God, understand Him, talk to Him, walk with Him, hear Him every single day. And practice this as families. Practice this together in a very simple way. And practice this with direct relationship with Him. You come to this meeting, you stand before God, and you take your place, and He will talk to you directly to tell you what to do. He will talk to you directly to ask you to pray or to give us a hymn or to participate in a word. And everyone, as we heard earlier today, coming to the meeting, coming bringing their offering from home. Where do you think the people of God brought their sacrifices? Everyone brought it from home. What did the Lord ask His people Israel to do about the Passover lamb? He told them to take it to them on the 10th day of the month and keep it with you to the 14th day of the month, and then that day when you slay the lamb. Keep it with you for 4 days before you actually offer it. What did they do those 4 days? Examine it. Look at it, and then you can offer it. We know what to offer only when we come to the Lord, as again we heard from John. Moses was telling Pharaoh, we have to take our cattle with us because we have no knowledge of what God would ask till we come before Him, but they have to bring it with them. And when everyone is bringing their cattle with them, their sacrifices with them, their offering with them, now God will choose. And God will be honored. That's a true worship. That's true priesthood. That's true access to the presence of God. That's our right, brothers and sisters. It was taken away from us by too many rules, by too many things that people put on us to prevent us from that direct access, that direct relationship with our Lord. We spoke earlier about the people of Israel, and we saw how they were typed for us in their exodus and their deliverance. Let's look at these verses together, and we'll go back to them again. In verse 5, Jude, verse 5. But I would put you in remembrance, you who once knew all things, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, in the second place destroyed those who had not believed.